Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The Braves Radio Network channel on the Podcast Park is brought to you by Truist Bank. When you start with care, you get a different kind of bank.
Hey, welcome to Braves Country.
Grammy and Emmy-winning comedian, actor, and writer Patton Oswalt is a military brat from Virginia who went to the College of William & Mary. But you know him better from movies like Zoolander, Starsky & Hutch, and the voice of Remy, the rat, in Pixar's Oscar-winning movie Ratatouille. And from TV shows like Parks and Recreation, The King of Queens, and The Goldbergs, and even an appearance on Seinfeld. This October, he's bringing his stand-up comedy home to the South on his Effervescent Tour, which features some very special stops throughout Braves country. Wednesday, October 18th, Patton Oswalt returns to the 40 Watt Club in Athens, Georgia, and he stops by the City Winery in Atlanta on Friday, October 20th, and Nashville on Saturday, October 21st. Oswalt is returning to Athens to celebrate the 20th anniversary of his first comedy album, Feelin' Kinda Patton, which was recorded at the 40 Watt Club. And we hear the mayor of Athens is going to present him with the key to the city. So we're excited to talk about it with the man himself, Mr. Patton Oswalt. Welcome to Braves Country.
Good to be in Braves Country. Yeah. How are things going in Braves Country?
Man, we're surging. We're about to win the World Series again this year. That's what I think.
Yeah, that's what it feels like, doesn't it?
Yep, we're doing well.
This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today, 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast.
Patton, my name is Tug. Good to talk to you.
Talk to you too, man.
Yeah, so I understand, and we, you know, we talk to a lot of artists, singers, songwriters, country, rock, and athletes and stuff too, but I understand you are not the biggest sports fan in the world.
I am so obsessed with so many different things. It's not that I don't like sports. It's like I got to compartmentalize my brain, and I got to keep room for all of the junk that I keep up there, and if I get deep into a team, that's a whole other bunch of brain fuel that's going to just burn itself away.
Right. Yeah, you only have so much room.
And I also know myself. I know how obsessed I'll get with things. Like, okay. I go very, very deep into stuff. I focus on things.
Okay, well,
it's in my nature.
If there were one sport that you could, and you could free up enough brain bandwidth to do, which sport would you choose? Baseball, football, soccer, hockey, golf? What would it be?
Dominoes?
Oh, boy. I would say probably basketball for two reasons. One, it is such a fast, insane sport in terms of, like, and also it seems to me just, it's weird. I do watch a lot of sports documentaries. I love documentaries about sports.
Me too.
So, the whole thing about the personalities that are in the sports world, I think beat any personalities in any other, be it rock and roll, hip hop, country, the art world, the extreme insanity of sports figures. You have to be insane to do well at sports. On some level, you have to kind of think that you're a god. I think that that insanity is beneficial for you as an athlete. And I think that the craziest personalities, to me, seem to have come out of basketball.
Yeah, like Dennis Rodman, people like that.
I mean, look, he thought he was a superhero, and he was kind of a superhero.
Yeah.
But, like, people like Michael Jordan clearly thought of himself like, I'm partially a god. And you have to think that or you can't succeed.
Right, you have to have that extreme confidence. Does it take that,
yes,
that kind of confidence, though, to be a comedian? Because I would say the answer has to be yes. I don't have the ability to get up on stage and make people laugh. I don't have the ability to think the way that you do, very clever and on your feet. You know, like, it would take me, I would be booed off the stage before, it'd be like, you know, a night at the Apollo or something.
Well, it's weird. Yeah, you have to think, that's a weird thing to think about, though, because part of being a comedian is, unlike other especially in sports, to be funny, you have to sometimes admit what an idiot you are. You have to be vulnerable enough to go, listen to this stupid thing that I did. Whereas to succeed as an athlete, you can't ever admit, like, listen to this dumb stuff. That, like, everything you do has to be godlike. And a lot of times to succeed as a comedian, a lot of stuff, what you have to do has to be dumb, mm-hmm, and has to be stupid to get the laughs. So it's a weird – but then, wait a minute. Now, hang on. Now you have me thinking, because now do you have to be confident enough to embrace how stupid you are in front of a bunch of strangers and tell people about that, make them laugh at you and think that you're awesome for being an idiot?
Yeah, or dumb enough and brave enough. Yeah, like dumb enough and brave enough to get up there and risk it to begin with.
Yeah. Well, also to look at that profession and go, yeah, that's how I'm going to make my money. I'm going to become successful going on stage and talking to drunks about what an idiot I am. That there is some confidence in there.
But, dude, self-deprecation is probably the funniest comedy, no?
I think so. I think that when nothing is funnier than when someone goes up on stage, instead of going, let me point out how dumb this thing is, they go, let me tell you how stupid I was. There's something that you just immediately linked to with that.
Well, it's just endearing, I think, to people, because we all have those moments that's real.
Oh, God, yeah. Yes, we do. We absolutely have. And I think, you know, anyone watching a really good comedian can watch and go, oh, God, I mean, yeah, that's really funny, but I think I may have done that. I think I may have done that in my life. Like that. There's that kind of terror.
Yeah,
you know?
There's a little bit of embarrassment in there. Oh, my God, I can't believe I'm about to admit that I actually did this. And then going to tell thousands of people.
Yeah, exactly.
So funny.
So, yeah, so that, again, but that's that kind of confidence.
I like it. I like it. Absolutely. It's good. We're talking to Patton Oswalt here on the Braves Country Podcast. Effervescent Tour. Good Lord, I can't even speak. I'm a hillbilly from Northwest Georgia. I'm going to get it wrong about two or three times before we're done here.
We have to give Tug cue cards. It's okay.
Effervescent Tour. Coming to Braves Country and celebrating the 20th anniversary of your comedy album, Feeling Kind of Patton, which you recorded at the 40 Watt Club. Big sold-out show back at the 40 Watt on October 18th. Congratulations, man. That has got to be the coolest feeling in the world, just that satisfaction of, man, I'm dumb, I'm smart, I'm brave, I'm crazy, and successful. All at the same time, it's all a big package. Nice little, put a little bow on top.
I somehow pulled it off. That does feel good.
Man, I love that you're coming back to the 40 Watt Club. That's where I came up in my music career. Valina Vigo, let's talk about her. My rock and roll mentor as a college kid and still one of my best friends to this day.
Wait a minute. What years were you at the 40 Watt?
Man, let's see. 93 to 2000-ish something. And so I think we were hanging out around the same time up in there, you know?
Yeah, I was. Oh, wow. That's a great time to be doing it.
That was the best. That was the best days. I mean, I wish I could go back. It was great. But it's preserved in time. Barry and Valina keep it exactly how it was, man. You will love it. I mean, you haven't been there in a while, right?
No, I haven't been there. God, when was the last time I was there? Probably in the mid-aughts, near kind of closer to 2010. But every time I've been there, it's like this indie rock simulator where you're right, they've kept it the way it was. It is like stepping back in time.
I love it. And she's really the ambassador of Athens, Georgia, and she's really looking forward to this Athens takeover thing that you kind of got planned for a couple days in Athens. And she told me, or somebody told me, a little birdie told me that Athens Mayor Kelly Gertz is going to present you with the key to the city at this show. Can you believe that?
I am literally being presented with. And again, this is, if I'm just trying to think for a second. When I recorded the album, I was on stage. I was drinking a lot of wine. I was I was talking about, you know, the Black Angus steakhouses and stuff like that. And now, 20 years later, I'm being handed the key to one of the coolest cities on the planet, by the way.
Well, what does that key get you exactly? I mean, are you able to go to a restaurant, just open up doors and have a nice meal? Are you able to go to Sanford Stadium and celebrate with the Georgia Bulldogs on the sideline? What does the key actually give you?
See, that's what I'm wondering. Like, I want to, do I test it like a supervillain, take it places?
I would.
And just, you know, can I go eat? Can I go sit down and dine somewhere? When I go to the Varsity, get the biggest, sloppiest dog, and when they ask for the money, I just go, let me show you this. Take a look at this key.
Sir, I have the key to the city. Back off of me right
can
now.
Wait a minute. Can I walk on the field with the Bulldogs? But I'm holding
exactly.
Like,
which is what you would want to do. Or be like that lady on the flight when they were filming her, and she's like, I'm an Instagram famous. You bum.
I just love that. I know she that okay. When she says you bum, up to the point where she says you bum, she's saying every profanity you can think of. She's being super, super like NC-17 language, but then she ends it with you bum. I don't know. There was something so delightful about that.
It was
almost like I've run out of curse words.
I've used them all, so I'm resorting back to the stuff I said when I was a kid. You bum.
You bum.
So good. You dummy. Why are you being so stupid right now?
Yeah, why don't you go F yourself, you jerk?
That's so good. I think it's
that's
great.
What it felt like.
It did.
When you drive into Athens, you got to either, there's like a checkpoint where you either got to tell your music history and know about certain bands, or you can talk about the dog's history. Either way, you get into Athens. And I think what happens is now that key has like one of those Peach Pass things in it, and you can just buzz right through there.
See, there you go.
I think that's what's going to go down.
Well, that'll be helpful.
I think that is my plan.
Okay,
and that works. I just saw a sign on Georgia 400 the other day because they're putting some sort of toll lane in there, which drives me crazy, but that's a different story altogether. And it says that it accepts the Sun Pass from Florida and the Palmetto Pass from South Carolina and North Carolina, whatever their pass is called, the Appalachian Pass, I don't know. And that makes me wonder if that key then, if it'll buzz you through the toll roads in Georgia, does it also buzz you through because of that relationship in those other states?
No, it's just the perimeter, the 10 perimeter there around Athens, Georgia.
That's disappointing is what that is.
You know, another thing that I'm stoked about, the next day, man, you're doing a free album signing at Wuxtry Thursday, October 19th at 2 p.m. It's open to the public. And I hear you got a special vinyl pressing of Feeling Kind of Patton that'll be available. Is that right?
Yes, a really gorgeous vinyl pressing from United Musicians, and it is gorgeous. There's all kinds of little cutouts. Not that you should cut up the album cover, but if you wanted to, you could cut out and like all the little represent all the little bits. Very, very cool. It's vinyl. It's the smell and feel of vinyl, and I'm actually signing my vinyl at Wuxtry Records. It feels historic to me, and I'm very
so cool.
Happy.
Yeah, Wuxtry is a very cool store. It's where Peter Buck of REM used to work back when he needed a day job.
Is that where he met Michael?
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's where they met.
So you can folks can come out and get a record signed, and see a historical record store with a hysterical comedy.
Yeah, and participate in the REM origin story.
And also, just to continue with your Athens takeover story here, your sold-out meet-and-greet at the show is a benefit fundraiser for Nucci Space. And folks who don't know about Nucci Space in Athens, Georgia, go to Nucci.com. It's a great mental health center for musicians in the community, and they really fight the good fight against suicide. And, man, that is really kind of you to help the community when you visit.
Well, that's also – a lot of that is Valena. I was like, what is a good – charity that you work with that you know of, and of course she, you know, works with, does the coolest stuff because she's the coolest person.
She is.
So
sure.
You know, she set it up so perfectly. So I'm glad to do it, but thank you, Valena, for pointing me toward them.
Yeah, man, that's good. Talking to Patton Oswalt here on the Braves Country Podcast. Man, we love the South. I love being from the South. I'm born and raised in Northwest Georgia and couldn't be more proud. And you know, Atlanta, I grew up loving Atlanta. I remember driving when I was a kid past you know, the stadium here in town, and just the, you know, the varsity, and just all the things that make Atlanta cool. And Athens is the same way, man, just a huge Georgia Bulldogs fan. And what is it that makes Athens so special for you, not being from Georgia, not being from Athens or even, you know, the area?
What makes it special for me is that I was born, and this is not the same thing. I grew up in Virginia, but I grew up in Northern Virginia. And like you hear me, I don't really have an accent. I grew up in that really boring suburb. And whenever I tour the South, and I tour the South as much as I can, I go all through Florida, Mississippi, Atlanta, you know, Louisiana. It is so much more of a culture and an identity. You actually feel.
That's right.
Like the accents change almost from county to county, love that. I love that. And so, you know, having stuff like that, you know, even the so-called quote-unquote progressive vegan stuff in the South has this really cool Southern flavor to it that you don't get anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Like the late great Grit. In Athens, the late lamented Grit, where did you go? Yes, it was a hippie vegan restaurant, but it was all very, very Southern. It was like, yes, our food is healthy, but we have found a way for it to still give you a heart attack. And I just think that's beautiful.
That's right. Even our vegetables will kill you. Watch out.
Yeah. Well, we'll find a way. We'll find a way to kill you.
I love what you said about the accents, though, because that's the truth, man. I was raised up in Northwest Georgia, as I said, and that's an Appalachian accent. And my wife's from upstate New York. And so she didn't know the difference. And I was like, well, no. So I have an Appalachian accent. Like, if you go down to Macon, Georgia, they've got a proper Southern accent. They're two different, very different accents, but both very Southern at the same time.
Oh yeah, and the Appalachian versus the deep Atlanta people, they can hear it.
Yeah.
Sometimes outsiders can't, but they're like, oh, you're from the mountains.
That's right. Exactly.
You're from
right.
The hollers.
That's exactly right, Patton. You're exactly 100% correct, and people don't pick up on it.
And Patton,
no, they don't.
And Patton and I have what I call a continental accent because we're both military brats. So my family's from Texas in the South, but it's like you don't get one when you grow up on Army bases, do you? Or you in Marine bases?
That's right. You have that. Oh my gosh, that's right. It's all like everything's kind of filed down on the Army bases.
Yeah, that's how it is.
So many people around, and then because this is something that Scott's done his whole career working. And with touring artists like Driving and Crying and Blackberry Smoke and Jason Isbell and Drive By Truckers and all those bands like that, and he's always talking about artists that choose rock clubs versus comedy clubs and theaters for stand up comedians. Why rock clubs? Why are they cooler or as cool? Why do you choose them? I guess instead of other places.
I just like the fact that way more than in a comedy club, rock clubs. Those audiences are so much more used to, he's shifting gears. I guess we're going this way now. Like they're so much more open to, it doesn't need to be this constant, the same patter over and over again. They've seen music. At a music show, the velocity and the pace changes all the time. Some of the fun comes from crazy left turns or taking it up to 90 and throwing it in reverse and seeing what happens. Like, so that kind of attitude that you find in a rock club is so much more fun for me as a comedian.
Absolutely. It's more fun for the audience, too, because it's like, you know, there's no rules at the rock club. There's a lot of rules at the comedy club and the theater, but the rock club, you know, the gloves are off.
There are definitely a lot of rules in the comedy club. There's definitely a lot of expectations, like, ahead of time. Like, you know, this had better be like this.
That's how it is. I used to have a joke DJ name DJ Three Drink Minimum, and it didn't work out for me, but I tried.
that can kind of hurt a career.
Yeah, a better name is like DJ Free Beer or something like that. That gets them in the door.
That'll bring a crown.
Hey,
I used to work under a DJ named Poetry Night, and man, we could not sell tickets. It was really rough.
To Poetry Night? No. Yeah, I can't believe that's the case.
It did not, Didn't bring people in.
The haikus, nothing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm out.
I go, just put my name. Just don't put DJ. Just put Poetry Night on the marquee and people show up.
That's right.
It does work like that, man.
This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today. 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast.
Speaking of hanging out together at the 40 Watt Club, we kind of had that in sync there. Another interesting thing that popped up, and I just found out yesterday, man, do you remember a guy named Bob Massey who you worked with at WCWM at William & Mary by chance? No?
Wait a minute, yeah, I remember Bob.
Yeah, let me refresh your memory a little bit. He also was your housemate in college. He lived, I guess you lived downstairs, he lived upstairs. He was the long red hair weirdo dude who he lived with Jeff, and you lived with some, and you guys worked at the station, right? Remember this cat?
I lived with Jeff in the basement.
Right.
He lived upstairs from us. It was this house on Boundary Street.
Yes.
And his roommates were these genuinely nice Christian guys.
Yeah.
And Bob was their roommate. So Bob was like, it's like they had adopted a caveman, basically.
Yeah. He was in bands. And Bob's my cousin. That's my cousin, Bob
what?
Massey. Yeah, isn't that weird?
What the? Wait, does he still play in bands?
No, even better. You're going to love this. Well, he might still mess around in music. He had a couple of great, successful touring bands, but now he's a writer out there in Los Angeles.
Wait a minute. What does he write on?
Well, my favorite thing was that Tales from the Tour Bus. He wrote that, a lot of that. And his wife.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding. His wife, Allison, is a producer who works with your buddy Seth Gordon a lot, and who did a lot of the Goldberg stuff. And so
I'm sorry. I'm looking at his picture on IMDb. He lost the beard.
Yeah.
He's all clean shaven.
He got cleaned
now.
Up. Yeah, William & Mary did something for the guy.
He turned out not to be a caveman after all.
But he said the last time you saw him, I just texted him. I was like, hey, man, didn't you graduate in 91 from William & Mary as well? And he's like, do you know Patton Oswalt? He's like, oh, yeah, we were housemates. And I saw him at South by Southwest a few years ago. So, yeah, man, what a small world, man.
That's Tales from the Tour Bus was an amazing show.
Absolutely. He's a really great. I mean, he's a great comedic writer. And here's my real thought, man. I'm thinking, you know, there's some time off with this writer's strike. Maybe you guys have a little coffee meeting and talk it over and see what you can come up with. You know what I mean?
Off the air, do you have his info?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'd love it.
Give me his info off the air. I'm so going to call him. What the hell?
I know. That's awesome, man. Let's do this. Then you guys can come on the show and talk about it.
I just followed him on Instagram. I'm going to...
On the gram. Now it's official.
Yeah, now you're buddies.
We on the gram together.
That's right, come on. I love that Instagram, boy.
What the hell?
I'm telling you, what an exciting day.
We got some things going. We were in the same rock shows in the 90s, and prior to that, or somewhere in there, my cousin not only went to the same school, not only worked at the same radio station with you, but was housemates with you. Bizarre.
Wow, I bet he had way better musical taste than I did. My musical taste didn't really mature until I moved to San Francisco in 92.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, oh my God.
So
that's
cool.
Awesome. What the hell?
So cool.
It's like this is your life.
It really is. Oh my goodness.
That's and you know what's crazy? Now, this has nothing to do with anything except Tales from the Tour Bus, because I didn't realize what that was for a long time. And one day, I just happened to be on Netflix or wherever it is you can see it.
Yep.
And I'm watching it because I grew up a country fan. Imagine that, Northwest Georgia. And there was an episode about Johnny Paycheck and George Jones and Tammy Wynette and Billy Joe Shaver and Waylon. And I was just like, what? And then you figure out it's the Beavis and Butthead guy.
Right.
You're like, holy Lord. Yeah. This dude, he's so talented. He is so underrated.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, country music is underrated in terms of extreme personalities and insanity. One of my favorite podcasts is called Cocaine and Rhinestones, all about the history of country music. And I will put, especially early country musicians were complete maniacs and geniuses. Like if you listen to, Waylon Jennings, Honky Tonk Heroes, talking about Billy Joe Shaver, and a lot of the early Willie Nelson stuff, like the songs are so dark and weird because that was the life they were living.
It was, that's right. And people like make a big deal out of like there'll be a couple of country artists that have a little scuffle or a disagreement or whatever, and they act like it's the biggest deal in the world. Or an artist gets too drunk and doesn't show up for their tour date, which never happens anymore. I was like, y'all clearly did not grow up on country. Like, No Show Jones, he had that name because he never showed up, ever.
Well, he was either No Show Jones or he was Can Do Jones, because didn't Tammy Wynette hide the car keys so he wouldn't go down and get booze, and he took a riding mower into town?
That's
because
right.
He was either Can Do Jones or No Show Jones.
It depended on what it was. I mean, like, if he were, if you'd paid for a ticket, he wasn't going to show up. But if he needed to get him a liquor drink, there wasn't nothing going to stop him.
He was Can Do Jones.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you.
Oh, my God.
It's so good.
And also, like, when people are, like, feuding now with, artists, back then they would just get into shotgun battle.
That's right. Like a duel. Like it's the early part of the Americas. Like now, colonial times.
Now it's a Twitter battle.
Yeah, now they snipe at each other on Twitter or Instagram, and back in the day they would just shoot one another.
Oh, exactly. Like you would get in the road and just start shooting.
That's
everybody.
Right. And if you are an innocent bystander, I'm sorry. We have to take care of this.
That's how we do it down south. Don't get sideways with anybody when you come down here, man.
Right. No.
Because they will pull a gun and liable to shoot you.
Hey, Patton. Yeah. Hey, going back to the William & Mary thing one more time, So I listened to your commencement speech for the William & Mary class of 2023, and you did a great job, man. You talked about how folks should not let go of the wandering. And that being important, what can you tell us about that? Can you tell our listeners what you meant by that?
Just give yourself. I don't mean like take a gap year or anything. I'm like, even during your life, try to plan a month every now and then where you just wander around for not everything has to have a point or a purpose. Some of the best stuff you'll ever create are gonna come from times when you're battling boredom or everything is just constantly random and you're trying to figure out a way to unrandom it. Sometimes the unrandomizing of a boring day can create something really, really amazing. I mean, I bet a lot of R.E.M.'s early songs were them just, we're stuck in Athens, there's nothing to do right now. What do we, the B-52 said the same thing about Athens. They had to create their own scene because there wasn't a scene. Like, now there's a scene, but back then, that song Love Shack was about, let's just have a party space. Well, we don't have any money. Well, there's an abandoned house in the woods that I know about. Let's just make it that. And then that just becomes a thing. So, that sort of, having that kind of room in your life is I think, really, really crucial.
I think you're
sort
right,
of
man.
Just giving yourself time to think.
Absolutely. And just be.
Be with no purpose.
That's right. We're talking to Patton Oswalt here on the Braves Country Podcast on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network. And I got a youngin', he's a freshman in college over at College of Charleston, and he's playing baseball, and he don't have time to do anything except, you know, he's working out, going to class, and then it's baseball the rest of the day and whatever. So we don't have that. But later in life, I'm hoping, you know, maybe at some point during the off season, something, he'll have that ability to wander. You know, there's that great bumper sticker that says, not all those who wander are lost. And it's so true. It is absolutely the truth. You're just being able to find yourself, you know, and the things that you love and the things that you're into that you never expected to be into. And that's when that's the thing that I like. Like, I found pickleball. I never expected to like pickleball.
Do it.
I never expected it. Now I'm in, and I expect to be a national champion at some point, sometime. But but when my kid was a youngin', we watched Pixar's Oscar-winning movie Ratatouille. And Jacob loved it, man. And it was one of those, you know, because he's a little bitty guy and you're trying to find those things that you connect with. And that was one of the very first movies early on that was that way with him. And then it became, you know, like Major League and you know, Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, and all those funny movies. But it all started right there, and we can still watch those movies together. I love
it. Tug, did you know that Patton was the voice of Remy in Pixar's Oscar-winning movie Ratatouille?
I did, which is the reason I'm bringing it up.
Okay.
Yeah, you thought that you didn't think there, you thought I was just wandering around, didn't you?
Yeah, for a second I was like, where's he going with this? Wow.
Oh, yeah.
If I could lead your daughter to Billy Madison, then that is, I've done something right.
Yeah, right.
Yay.
No doubt.
Very happy.
But it all started there, man, and Ratatouille is so cool. So I know, you know, you got a young daughter, and does she like the movie? She recognize your voice? Does she get what, you know, what you were a part of?
Yeah, I mean, I remember when she was super, super young, she would watch Ratatouille and just loved it. When she was like three, it was just a fun cartoon. And I think it wasn't until she was like seven that she realized, oh, wait, that's my dad's voice. Mm-hmm. Like it took her a while to put it together. So letting her have that moment of discovery was kind of awesome. It was like I had something in my pocket for like 4 years that I was sitting on that I knew about. And that I'm like, oh, she's going to figure this out. This is great. That felt really cool.
No, I'm sure it did. Does she think you're funny?
I can still make her laugh sometimes, but she's 14, which any father of a 14-year-old knows that a lot of the times you are now in dad joke territory, even if you're making a cool joke. There's a lot of eye rolling and a lot of like, oh, dad, come on.
Yeah, if she comes out of her room, that is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if she comes out of her room or takes her her earbuds out.
That's right.
Which is rare, few and far between, I'm sure. That's funny. Because I just lived that. I mean, I just sent it off to college and wrote a big check to have him finally take the earbuds out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Take them out. Come on.
Yeah, you got to do something. You got to take tests. You got to go hustle for baseball. But kids' movies, regular movies, TV, stand-up, because you've done all of this. Like, is there a favorite, or is it just whatever is in the moment that you're doing?
Well, I'm torn. I love doing all of it, but stand-up is what brought me to the dance.
Yeah.
So stand-up is like the thing that I will always love. You know, mm-hmm. That'll be the thing that'll always be. Like when I do movies and TV and stuff like that, it's so that I can do more stand-up.
I've heard other comedians say that. That is where they always want to come back to. No matter what else they do, that's where they want to end up.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm doing it so I can never have to stop doing stand-up.
And speaking of great comedians, man, I loved that show, The King of Queens. And I imagine that it must have been a whole lot of fun and maybe even educational working with Kevin James and especially Jerry Stiller.
God, Jerry Stiller. That dude, he could get a laugh with a line that wasn't even a punchline. It was just like a setup. Like the way he would walk into a room in a scene and just go, "Hello, Douglas," and that would get a laugh. And it would almost sometimes throw the rhythm off. He was just such pure comedy all the time. It was amazing. He was amazing.
It's whatever it is. Like, whatever, you know, they say, oh, he's got it. Whatever it is.
Undefinable.
Yeah.
And it always worked, and it always got a massive laugh. God, he was funny.
Are there other people that you've been around that have that same ability? Is there anybody that you think has it more than anybody else?
Jack Black definitely has that. Even before, I mean, I knew him before he was famous, and before Jack Black was famous, he was famous. Yeah. He was just one of those guys where you could just tell the energy coming off of him. it was like, oh yeah, this guy's a celebrity.
Yeah,
he's just a celebrity. God, other people like that. I mean, Jack Black is the one that comes to mind, where it's just like it's pure instant.
I get it. You know, and maybe, obviously never had the pleasure of meeting Chris Farley, but he seemed to have that same thing that you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Where he just lit up the room.
I met him once in Aspen, and he was one of those guys that, like, just walking down the street, people would run out of bars at him and just hug him. And, like, you. But from what I hear from people that knew him, he was famous before he was famous.
Wow. He just has it. He has that it thing that we all look for in people, and that is so magnetic to them. I hear you're into the geek culture thing, which, here in Atlanta, they do Dragon Con. I think they probably do it everywhere, but I know they have
the
it
big
here.
Ones here, though, Dragon Con.
So the main one is here in town, and I must admit, I just missed the geek culture bus. I don't dislike it. I don't make fun of it. I just don't do it. I don't understand it really. I don't participate in it. I'm cool with it all. You know, whatever you're into, I like. So sci-fi, comic books, all that. Now, is it Star Wars or Star Trek for you? Is there a preference? Do you care? Does that matter?
Star Trek was a little bit before my time. I just never. I mean, I like the movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, Star Wars kind of blew my head. Out the back of my skull. I mean, for me, though, the energy that people put into nerd culture and the energy that people put into, like, sports or politics, it's the same thing. It's just different fuel, but it's the exact same focus and passion.
So are you rooting for the Empire or the Rebellion?
Still rooting for the Rebellion, but they, you know, I don't know if you watched that series. Well, you're not into sci-fi, but there's a series called Andor, and they sort of make you, like, they do some interesting things where you're like, oh, I can see why somebody would like the Empire, or I could see why somebody would, like, go for the Empire. Like, it's kind of amazing.
Yeah, I always thought the Empire. I always thought
the your head a little bit.
Yeah, I always thought the Empire had cooler uniforms for me.
It was all about the uniform for you. I like it.
It looks so uncomfortable.
Yeah, seriously.
I think you're insane. Up to the neck?
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, I heard on our show this morning that we did, I played this cut. There was this TikTok video that's gotten 5.3 million views in like a day. And it's this really, really attractive young woman, probably college age, blonde, just beautiful girl. And she said, if you are not trying to find yourself a nerd, you are missing the bus. She went down the checklist. If they buy a lightsaber, marry them right away. If they love Harry Potter, make sure you get to meet their mother. If they play Monopoly or, you know, Magic or what's that, Dungeons and Dragons, she was like, I'm telling you, these guys have it. Nobody realizes it. Nobody knows it to begin with. But later down the road, when he's kind to you and he's a bazillionaire and you've been kind to him the entire time, you're going to be loaded and in a happy marriage. That's what this girl said on TikTok.
I got to go find that. Wow. That justifies everything. Hell yeah.
I'll text it to you. I'm telling you, I was blown away by it.
Wow. Good for her. Thank you. Thank you, pretty blonde girl, for standing up for us nerds.
Exactly. You know what I'm thinking, Patton, is she's basically saying if you want a guy who has no chance of cheating on you, go for a nerd. That's what I'm thinking is the bottom
there
line.
You there you go.
You're taking that personal over there?
I'm
what
taking
are you doing?
I don't know. Something like that. Or it might be a money grubbing thing. I'm not sure. She might be a gold digger or something.
Yeah. Surely not.
But
she's not dealing with any broke nerds.
No, that's right. That's exactly right. Because if you can buy, I mean, let's face it. If you can go to Universal, you've got to have some money in the bank. It's expensive. And if you're buying Harry Potter magic wands while you're there, you got to have some money in the bank. And damn, if you buy yourself a lightsaber, those same thing expensive.
Yeah.
They oh my God, they'd be so expensive.
It costs a lot being a nerd. You got to go to Dragon Con. That's a
and
that's
those
a bill
costumes.
Right there.
I mean, those. Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
that takes a long time to put together that ensemble.
Exactly. You got to have some money in the bank if you're going to cosplay right.
That's it. Hey, we really appreciate you coming on the show. We know you're not a big sports fan, but thanks for coming on the Braves Country podcast. And you know, Tug doesn't like to encourage people to be bandwagon fans, but I'm just going to let you know there's plenty of room on the Braves bandwagon and the Dogs Bull bandwagon this year if you want to jump on. And
I won't be judged for jumping on late.
No, we'll let you on. We'll get, you know, you can have a Braves T-shirt. You know, we
just don't tell
we're
them.
Open to
just I've been a fan my whole life. What you talking about?
Yeah, we'll teach you how to chop. Right. We have this thing called the tomahawk chop. I'll show you at the 40 watt. It's all good.
Okay, good. Show me at the 40 watt.
And before we go, though, we always have to ask everybody about Southern food and what they're looking forward to eating when they come down south, or what they do when they, you know, the Southerners, where their favorite spots are. I know you're kind of a foodie. I heard you love scotch. So what are some of your favorite things you're looking forward to having when you come back down here? Now that the grit's closed, where are you going to go?
Yeah, I know. That's the great thing about the South, though. When you go down there, you just ask people, what's the best local barbecue joint? I will be getting some barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in Atlanta, in the outskirts, Daddy D's. Also, Gladys Knight's Chicken and Waffles.
Oh, God, yeah.
Is pretty amazing. But, again, I always go, especially I'm hanging out with Valena, so she will know whatever the best new place is.
All right, well,
and that will be the one I go to.
What about scotch? Like, give me a good scotch that you like.
There's one out of Oregon called McCarthy's. McCarthy's single malt scotch is just friggin' amazing. It is so smooth and so tasty. It's not too smoky. It's not too peaty. If you like it, like, so a little smoother. But if you like the smoke and the peat and the salt water, like I do sometimes, there's nothing wrong with good old Lafroig. Lafroig will never let you down.
Are those ones that only the nerds can afford because they got all the money, or is it something that a regular dude like myself can afford?
Oh, but you can absolutely afford McCarthy's. McCarthy's is not expensive. And a good, like, a 10-year-old Lafroig isn't that crazy expensive.
Like, well, what does that mean, not that crazy? Is it like $50, $100? What is it?
No, it's like, I think you can get a good one for like $25.
Okay, see that? Yeah, you're talking about like
it's mid-shelf.
Yes, okay.
And a good Lafroig, like, it works like a depth charge. You take a shot, you let it kind of drop, and then boom, it just, when it hits your stomach, you'll know it. It's amazing.
I love it. I can't wait to try it. Because I like to sip on, you know, bourbons occasionally, and I've not really ventured out into the scotch world, so I'm thinking that may be a possibility for me.
Plenty of room on that bandwagon.
If I see you at the show, I will pour you a single malt neat and teach you how to drink it.
Okay, nice. All right. Well, look, we'll work on that. We'll see if we can't make that thing work out.
Yeah, man, it's the Effervescent Tour, September 22nd through November 11th across the USA.
Let's go.
And the dates in Braves Country that we're focusing on here, Wednesday, October 18th, the 40 Watt Club in Athens, Georgia. The next day, you got that signing at Wuxtry, of course, that folks need to go to. Thursday, the 19th, Wuxtry Records, Athens, free album signing event. Friday, October 20th at City Winery in Atlanta, Georgia. Plenty of tickets available for that one. The 40 Watts sold out, but you can still get tickets for the City Winery in Atlanta on Friday, October 20th. And then the 21st, you're heading up to Nashville on the 21st, right?
Yeah, I get to go to Nashville. I know the early show in Atlanta is about to sell out.
Okay.
There's still tickets for the late show. And, yeah, then I get to go to Nashville. This is a kind of a brief tour for the fall, but then next year I'm doing a much longer, much deeper tour of the South.
Okay.
So,
oh, cool!
All right, right on, man.
We'd love to talk to you again about that.
Absolutely,
call us up, man.
We absolutely will. And now, tell your fans this is a very special segment you're doing called "Talk to a Nerd."
Yes, I will. Yes, that's right. This man has a damn lightsaber. He is legitimate.
And a bottle of scotch.
And a bottle of scotch. A drunk man with a lightsaber cannot be safe.
Drunk with a lightsaber, not good.
That's right. Seems like bad things could happen. Seriously, man, get into town soon, and we look forward to seeing you at the 40 Watt, and hope you'll come back again one day soon and hang with us.
Yeah, I can't wait, guys. Thanks so much, man.
Patton, take care, bud.
Take it easy, my friend. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today, 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast.
Braves Country supports the Warrior Alliance and the Shepherd's Men, two phenomenal veteran organizations based in the South. Check out thewarrioralliance.org and shepherdsmen.com for more info and resources. That's thewarrioralliance.org and shepherdsmen.com. Braves Country would like to thank all of our nation's great veterans.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.